And of course, in the world of astrology, what does that mean about us personally? Investing, living, dying? Mitchell Scott Lewis joins us next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Mitchell Scott Lewis with us, of course, renowned financial astrologer, author of Murder in the 11th House and also Evil in the First House, soon to be released. For 12 years, he's worked on the Mercantile Exchange and predicted a number of major financial events, including the subprime mortgage collapse. And we're going to talk with him about all of these things tonight at Coast to Coast. Mitchell, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you, George. How nice to be with you again.
My pleasure. Having this ability as an astrologer and then these predictions, that kind of gives you a leg up on a lot of people, doesn't it?
Yeah, but then people expect you to be, you know, right all the time.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
It gives you a bit of a leg up, George, but like any tool, you got to use it properly, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So much is going on these days. Give me an overview, Mitchell, of what you've been looking at lately and just how things seem to you.
Well, astrologers seem to feel that they have to constantly warn people about things, and they're always pulling up aspects, and they amount to nothing, pretty much. And every once in a while, we get an aspect that really is worth paying attention to. The great alignments in 2000 and in 1962, they pulled the society violently one way and the other. And now we're heading into something called the Grand Cross, which other astrologers may have mentioned to you. I'm sure they're all aware of it. We've been dealing with Pluto squaring Uranus up in the sky for several years, and it will continue till 2016. So it's a very powerful configuration that has a great deal to do with the financial markets, with the society. It's the reason, so to speak, why our government is torn into shreds and can't come to any kind of a mutual situation. And on April 20th, 2014, the Uranus-Pluto square will be squared by Jupiter and Mars, creating a grand cross at 13 degrees cardinal. Now, those who don't understand astrology, it's just a tremendous amount of energy that's being emitted at the same time. And what really catches my attention is that it falls exactly on America's sun. And it's funny, George, I had a lecture scheduled earlier today, and I just took a little nap, so I'm ready for you now. And I was lecturing about the Grand Cross and what I expect to happen. And we looked at Sirius chart, Egypt's chart, Israel, quite a number of different charts. And there are there's a lot of activity. And just because there's activity doesn't mean there'll be a major event. In order for me to think that there'll be a major event, I need to see synchronicity among a lot of different charts.
And you're not seeing that, are you?
No, I am seeing it.
Oh, you are? The synchronicity? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think we're going to have some sort of an event near, I'd like to say it's exactly on, but near April 20th. and it's what bothers me most is the Jupiter blowing things out of proportion, and Pluto rules, among other things, plutonium, but it also rules oil and coal and natural gas. And there could be an event involving either a nuclear plant or a pipeline or maybe a terrible spill. But this looks more like a terrorist attack. And I hate to even use those words, frankly.
I understand.
I'm not by nature
you're not an alarmist, are you?
Yeah, not at all. In fact, most of the time people say to me, oh, look what's happening, and I shrug, and nothing occurs. But sometimes it does, like 9/11. And you see the energy that is so strong that it worries you. And remember, astrologers aren't psychics. Although sometimes we certainly, if you're going to stay in this business your whole life, you have to have a strong intuition and you have to have a little of juice. But there are many astrologers who are excellent astrologers, have very little psychic abilities. They're hard workers, and we work very, very hard, and we'll look at hundreds of thousands of charts over the course of our lives, but hundreds to see if an event is occurring. And my predictions have been remarkably accurate. Even I'm shocked, to tell you the truth. When I started to study with Isabel Hickey many, many years ago, I said I can understand the psychological talents of astrology, but maybe the health issues, but to really predict things, that's ridiculous. And here I am making major predictions.
Are you intuitive, or is it strictly astrology that's doing this?
No, I'm quite intuitive, but George, I would never call myself a psychic, and I would never say I'm going to give you an intuitive reading. Now, I believe in the work that people have done, and you know, even Nostradamus, if he didn't see, he had to see what he was predicting in the charts. He, you know, when he did the chart of Henry II, and he predicted his death in a joust, it was all through the astrology charts. Right. This is what he was using. But he was also quite psychic and quite intuitive. And I think we have to use all of our tools. There are people who come to me and they say, you know, I'm very concerned, I'm going in for an operation or something. What do you think will happen? Well, I can look at the chart. The chart will tell me that the operation is happening, and it'll tell me that this person is under a great deal of stress and duress. It's pretty much my intuition that decides how it's going to play out. And, you know, as my clients will confirm, I'm pretty accurate with a lot of different kinds of predictions, but it's always with the chart. I have to see it in the astrology chart, or I don't believe that it's going to happen. And here I see a tremendous amount of energy piling up right on America's sun. And most astrologers like the Sagittarius ascendant for July 4, 1776. I've been using it for many years, and I find it very effective. And that puts the sun in the eighth house, and it rules the ninth house. The ninth house is foreigners. And it kind of looks to me, George, like we're going to have some sort of an event next spring.
Now, does astrology, Mitchell, tell you where? Or
that's
just
what
when?
I'm focusing in on now. Remember, a great deal of work goes into this. And even though there are times when you get the intuition, oh, it's going to be such and such. But even then, even if my intuition said to me, well, it's going to be a problem in, you know, the upstate in the nuclear plant or something, then I have to first do the real work and sit down and look at all the charts, the chart of New York State and of New York City and where when the nuke opened up and so on. So what I'm doing now is trying to focus and get as exact as I possibly can.
And can you?
We'll see. I think so. I have in the past, certainly, and I expect to. What I'm seeing here is the outline of a serious situation, which, by the way, will also affect our financial markets severely. I don't think there's a crash coming, George. I think what's happening is, well, if there's a terrorist attack, there'll be a dip. A very severe dip in the stock market, but that's not the same thing as a crash. What we had in 2008 was a crash because there was nothing under our financial markets. So the whole thing collapsed.
Dips go right back up again.
Oh, yeah. In fact, you know, the smart money sits and waits on the sideline, and then when they think it's dipped, they jump back in. Of course, had you jumped in 2008, you would have been killed in early 2010 when the markets collapsed again. So it's a question of knowing when to get back in, but absolutely. And in fact, I'm not going to tout stocks or anything with you. That's not what we're on for. But there are some stocks that are doing quite well. Well, one that I did get many of my friends into was Nokia, and I got that through the astrological first trade of the chart. And Nokia has been exploding. It's up when they bought it. It was $3.75. It's now up to $6.40 or something. I think it closed that today. So there are some stocks that are doing quite well, and the astrology tells us which stocks too. I mean, you know, if you use astrology, you use it for pretty much everything. I think we have a severe dip in our markets and a big run-up in gold, but I don't know if you remember, I'm not a big fan of gold.
Right.
I think that buying gold is kind of silly. If you're buying it because the world's going to end, what are you going to do with it? You have your gold coins. You think you're going to go to the supermarket and spend them? There won't be, if we get to a complete collapse, there won't be any supermarkets. So I don't believe in gold. I believe in it as a hedge against inflation and some other situations. But I don't think holding gold and silver coins is going to make any difference at all. Because if the society really breaks down, that's going to be useless to you. You're not going to be able to use it. Also, gold, if you notice, in my newsletter, I wrote that quite a few months ago. I said gold is going to dip down to 1,200. It's going to test that, and it'll probably bounce from there, which is exactly what happened. and it got up to 14 and change, 1450, and now it's coming off again. So it's stuck in a trading range between $1,200 and $1,400, and it's going to bounce back and forth and back and forth. Next April, with Jupiter on America's sun, gold might spike. The sun rules gold. Jupiter is expansion. The day that they found gold at, Sutter's Mill in California to start the gold rush, Jupiter was sitting exactly on America's sun. I mean, astrology really works, and it really blows your mind if you do it this sufficiently. And so I expect that there'll be a run-up in gold. And if you're a futures trader, you can make a fortune if gold goes up $1,000 an ounce. But if you're sitting with 20 gold coins and it runs all the way up, you got to run and get those coins. You've got to go down and sell them. You got to hope for the best. Then you'll make some money off of it, but you're not going to make your retirement fund. It's not the way it works. Whereas if you're a futures trader and gold goes up $1,000 and you're holding some futures, you make a fortune. So it has to do not only with whether gold's going to go up or not, but what good does it do you as an individual, as an investor, you know?
Yeah, that's true too. But let's talk about the remaining several months this year, and then we'll get back into 2014.
Sure.
Are we going to get through okay this year?
Oh, we're going to get through okay. There may be... a correction. Look, I was expecting a correction this summer, if you remember, and the markets pretty much, you know, they didn't. They went sideways. They've gone up a bit, they've gone down. Then they go up again, then they come back down again. And they're really moving sideways, and that's how they're going to continue to move for several more years, frankly. They'll make new highs only to fail over and over again, which is what happened between 1967 and 1982, when we had a 16-year bear market with huge bear market rallies, but we never had another bull market till 82. So for 16 years, we were stuck going sideways. That's where we're at now. So what might happen is in October, we have Saturn in conjuncting Neptune. And Neptune dissolves things that, you know, it doesn't care for reality too much. It's got more to do with the spiritual side of life. Saturn is all about reality. When the two are in conflict to each other, it's usually the Saturn that suffers. And if that's what happened with the housing market. That's why I was able to predict the collapse of the housing market was Saturn in opposition to Neptune. Saturn rules the housing market and the land and the outside of the house and everything. And Neptune dissolved it all. And the reality that everybody thought with their $750,000 houses dissolved right before their eyes.
Wow.
And we may see some of that. The opposition is more powerful than the inconjunct. What we have now is the inconjunct. But we may see some trouble in the markets. But my feeling is that we're drifting down. I don't see a crash. There may be a crash next April on that Grand Cross, but even that wouldn't be a crash like we had in 08. It would just be a severe dip because of an event that occurred, and then the markets will come back as we realize the world isn't ending. You know, 2011, 9/11, absolutely freaked our country out, and the psychological effect of it was just devastating. And the markets, if you look at the charts, they collapsed right then. But they came back. They came back to make new highs. But truthfully, 2000 was the end of the bull market. And even though markets will continue to make new highs, if there's no momentum behind them and they're lightly traded, that's not a bull market. And we haven't seen anything resembling a bull market since. So I think we continue to drift sideways and to the downside. And then as we get into next year, later in the winter, around January, February, we'll see, you know, we will sense as a collective what the energy is that's coming with this Grand Cross. And more to the point, we should be able to see where the events might take place. I think Syria's civil war is going to expand. I think rather than getting directly into it, by the way, I don't think we're going to attack Syria.
No, not at this point. I
never really did. I mean, I thought there was some possibility to save face, but that wouldn't be saving face at all, and I think Obama realized that. And so rather than directly confronting Assad, a lot of people are going to start pouring weapons and money into the rebels, which is not, you know, it's such an unstable situation that no matter what, there's no winner at this point. It's just tearing the country apart and killing innocent people and so on, and, of course, putting everything on the line. Now, Egypt, of course, with the Arab Spring and everything in 2011, January 25th, when Egypt had its revolution, the planet Uranus, which rules revolution, was an exact square to Egypt's sun. And Neptune, which rules spirituality, was in an exact trine. A trine is a positive aspect, the square is a negative one. So what happened was they had a revolution, Uranus square the sun, violent revolution, but with a great deal of hope underneath that the Neptune created. Problem, of course, is that it didn't work. And there is no government for Egypt at the moment, so there's no chart for modern Egypt. There's no new country. And the 1953 chart is not really that effective anymore because that's not the country anymore.
A lot of people are concerned about a lot of different things, Mitchell, and I want to go through some of them, you know, chronologically and give us your best views on just what could happen aside from this, what could be a tragedy in the spring.
Right.
Weather-wise, do the charts show anything about that?
I think that pretty much the worst. Look, George, I believe that when it comes to destruction, humanity is a piker compared to nature.
Yeah.
The First World War, for 4 years, we threw everything we could. We killed as many people as we could. And the influenza epidemic killed 100 times as many in 6 months. And I think that what is ultimately happening is the revenge of Mother Earth. We can't continue the way we've been. It's ridiculous. I don't care. Now they're saying the ice caps are growing, and none of that matters. We have thrown our world into such disarray. The forest fires out west, the droughts, the terrible flooding, then the hurricanes and all the rest of this is going to continue. And it's also possible that April could represent any one of a number of events. That's why, you know, I'm going to spend the next couple of months studying and trying to pinpoint it. It's my job, and it also makes me look good. Hey, you know, you managed to do it. But mostly to try and help people. I predicted 9/11. I was on a number of TV shows for a year in advance, and it finally hit. I got the kudos from my contemporaries. And I knew it was in New York, too, at least to some extent.
Yeah, you can feel it.
You know, you can pinpoint some things by using the charts of the city and whatnot. But, yeah, I think that the weather patterns is the real catastrophe facing us, as well as our lack of regard for our environment.
It's
almost pathological.
Given that information, is there much you can do about that?
You mean as an individual to have a better life?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can prepare for some calamity or something. Mitchell, we're going to take this break. We'll come right back with you. Mitchell's website, of course, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about what's in store for all of us on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, mark your calendar. Next Thursday, I'm going to be on ABC's The View with Whoopi Goldberg. So jot that down and watch the show. I'm looking forward to that. It's live in New York where I will be. I'll do the Wednesday night show, by the way, out of the Big Apple. We're going to come back in a moment more with Mitchell Scott Lewis and his astrological view of the future on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Mitchell Scott Lewis with us. Mitchell, so as you look at things for the future, other than this event in the spring, have you pinpointed where it could happen? I mean, you mentioned a little bit about New York, but can you be more specific?
Not yet, George. There's a lot of charts I have to examine. New York City, L.A., so many different ones. An overall view of it all, from my point of view, is this. Our society's been teetering on the edge since probably 2000, 2001, if you want, but certainly since the crash of 2008, which, you know, cleaned out the middle class pretty nicely. And in 2016, Uranus squares Pluto for the last time. At that point, things will start to settle down. The government will, in one way or another, redefine itself. I'm not quite sure how. Maybe the Republican Party gets a new redefinition or something. But there's going to be a couple of events between now and then, you know, like April, that will shake us up a bit and make us redefine the society again. But pretty much, look, I'm not a doomsday prophet. Like I've said many times, I don't think we're going anywhere for a long time. I think we're going to have to suffer through the mistakes that we make. And we're going to, you know, our children, you know, will see a world much different than what we grew up in. And, you know, assuming the ecological deterioration continues at the rapid pace it is, you know, things we take for granted, like going to the beach, will not be that easy for them to do. But no, I don't think we're, you know, finished. I think we have a very, very strong, incredibly rich society with more money than has ever existed on the planet. It's a question of who gets it and how it's distributed. Sure. Frankly, you know, the same argument that humanity has been having for an awful long time. If there's so much money, why are there people living on the street? And these are the questions that ultimately, you know, will come to pass, because a strong society with a strong middle class holds up the culture so that the rich and everybody else and the people who are struggling get a chance and so on. If that all, you know, comes tumbling down, then we're not going to have anything. So I'm not a doomsday prophet. I think it's just a matter of redefining and redirecting and making some major, major decisions about fossil fuels, frankly. This is what it's all about. You know, the whole world runs on oil, and it's a mess. You know, they want to frack in upstate New York right near the water supply for New York City. And I don't care how safe they think it is. All you need is one oops, and then you have no water for New York City. How can you possibly take that kind of a risk? But they'll tell you it creates jobs, and we'll be independent. We'll be, you know, energy independent, you know, for 12 minutes. It's a very, very stupid, short-sighted perspective. A very few giant corporations run almost everything, and we're addicted to oil and whatnot. And so until that changes a little bit, I don't see us really doing much for the middle class or for the future of the planet.
Well, you know, because our direction, a lot of this is tied into whoever gets elected. Next one, of course, 2016. Are you looking at that yet, Mitchell?
Yeah, I started to look at that. I looked at Hillary and Jeb Bush and a few other people. You know, the problem with predicting who's going to win a horse race is that you have to see the charts of all the horses.
That's right.
Not just one of them. And so, you know, I have a couple of people's charts who look like they may be involved in it. But until we see who's actually in the running, you can't really, really tell. And Jeb Bush's chart, by the way, doesn't look all that good. In fact, he may have some health issues over the next couple of years that might prevent him from even considering a run. Hillary's chart on a near election day looks actually very, very strong. That doesn't guarantee that either that she runs or that she wins. You need to compare the two. When I did the last, I've been pretty accurate. I've picked every presidential election since 99, 2000, 2004, 8, 12, et cetera.
John Hoag's done the same, and he uses his own predictions and things too.
Right.
It's uncanny how you can both do that. There's got to be something to it.
John's work, I'm very familiar with John's work. Somebody told me that he was on recently, and he predicted Jeb Bush. Is that right?
He still is sticking with a Jeb Bush. That's right.
Well, we'll see. Look, you know, John may be right. I'm far from a final answer on this. I just see some troubles for Jeb. Pluto will be in opposition to his Uranus. Based on the birth time that I have, that rules his sixth house of health. There's a few other issues that are going on that may be sufficient to knock him out of the box. But I don't know. I don't know John's particular style or what work he's done. Of course, if I could look over his notes, I may agree with him. I may not. But again, I think it's too early for anybody to predict a presidential win, because we don't even know who's running. We don't know what,
right,
you know, what's going to happen between now and then. What I look at, what I've been particularly good with, is seeing if there's sufficient change in America's chart to imply a change of parties.
Mm.
That's more important to me at the moment. Are the Democrats going to keep the White House, or do the Republicans take it over? Now, when Obama won, there was zero question in my mind. Uranus was opposite Pluto. Saturn was opposite Uranus, and that's what created the stock market crash. But it also created a really, really violent, or not the right term, but tremendous change in the presidency. Not only were we changing parties, but we got either our first black president or our first woman president. So there's very little question but that the Democrats were going to win, and that that Obama was going to be reelected, which I also predicted. So I don't see at the moment that kind of a massive change. So as of right now, I'm inclined to think that the Democrats keep the White House. But again, I'm not ready to make 100% prediction. That'll come over the next year or so. I'm more concerned with next April and keeping an eye on that. But whenever we change political parties, it shows up in America's chart in ways that I just don't see it yet. And like I keep saying, there's so much work to do, whether it's John or me or any of us, astrologers are the most hardworking people in the country, because we have to look at 1,000 charts to come up with one answer. Yes, go to Brazil or invest in your company or, America, whatever it is. And by the time I'm done, I'll be happy with the results. I'll be able to grab it.
So you're not, you're really not that concerned about any catastrophes.
No, April does bother me. This coming April really bothers me, George. In all the charts, in America's solar arc directed chart, secondary progress chart, et cetera, it looks like this could be a big to do. And what bothers me is the Pluto Uranus in the middle of it. And the implication being that it could be an explosive situation, and like I keep saying, involving either plutonium or fossil fuels, and it does bother me. It does. I don't know where it's going to be. That's why I'm going to try and pinpoint it. That's why we'll be looking at a dozen different cities and whatnot. It bothers me sufficient. In fact, like I said, I just did a lecture earlier, and. The people at the lecture were even shaking their heads, saying, wow, because I lecture a lot, and I don't usually tell people, oh, something terrible is going to happen, unless I think it is, and it's very rare. This time, I'm a little concerned. I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think they're going to blow up New York City, but there is some possibility that there could be another attack somewhere, or some terrible, terrible catastrophe, like the Gulf spill that we've pretty mm-hmm. much pushed out of sure. our consciousness. I was down in New Orleans for the UAC conference, United Astrologers Conference, last May, and I wouldn't eat any fish.
Because of that?
I wouldn't eat anything that came out of the Gulf, and you don't know where that...
Do you see anything that has to do with space or anything like that?
I tell you the truth. I think if we put the kind of effort that they put in the late 60s and early 70s into space exploration, maybe we could get somewhere. But I think that people who are looking up to space as the answer for humanity are really, they don't want to deal with the truth about what we've done to the planet. And so they're looking for an escape route. I don't think we get that many choices. I think humanity is kind of stuck here. And, maybe at some point they will discover wormholes and whatnot. But unless Einstein is wrong and we can travel faster than the speed of light, it takes so long to go anywhere that we're not going anywhere. So we've got to deal with what's here.
Well, we do have to deal with what's here. But, I kind of think, like you, that in the long run we're gonna win out.
We'll be here for a long time, George. What's going to happen is we're going to have to redefine our values and whatnot, and we may get to a point where humanity is in little pockets around the world, and that's the way it becomes, where we thrive but as a much smaller species. I don't know that we can handle 20, 30 billion people on this planet. And, we have to deal with things that intellectually we have control over, birth control, family planning, things like that. But then there are religious groups and there are all kinds of different, you know, people who don't believe in that and so on and so forth. And they ignore the obvious, which is the pond is only so big and it can only hold so many frogs.
When you are looking at events, whether it's weather calamity or the stock market, finances, how do you pick the topic or the area in order to do the astrological chart to it?
Usually there has to be some reason to pick it. In other words, is there going to be a market crash? Well, I don't know. Why do you think there is? Well, such and such is happening. For example, looking at next April, I had to open my consciousness up. I'd say, look, this great grand cross is happening. Where is it going to happen? What is it going to do? So I look at Sirius chart, Egypt's chart, the New York Stock Exchange's chart, Israel's chart, America's chart. Then I'll go and do the European, the EU and England and so on and so forth and try and figure out, you know, where and what it is that's going to occur. Or if somebody says to me, did you hear what happened in Syria? Oh, well, then we have to start looking at those charts, you know. So there has to be a focal point of some sort. But when we're dealing with something like the Grand Cross, it's wide open. The reason why it bothers me and I'm focusing so much on America as opposed to thinking it might be something happening in foreign countries is because this Grand Cross lands exactly on America's sun. Within minutes, this is really, for an astrologer, a very rare and a little frightening, I think, you know, event. Even if nothing happens, there will be a huge psychological event that will occur. And I think it's more than that, George. I do. I honestly think we're going to have some sort of an event. And April 20th is when it completes and the moon sets it off. And April 20th is a rather prominent birthday.
Well, so if other astrologers pick that date on some kind of major event, I guess we have to conclude something's going to happen.
Yeah, well, even if they don't, I'm going to be right. But yes, I think you'll find that there are quite a number of astrologers by now who've become, you know, savvy to it. Whether, you know, we all tend to listen to each other to some extent and come to the same conclusion. But yeah, I would be surprised if any mundane astrologers, you know, political and financial astrologers, weren't looking at this date rather severely. Many astrologers don't do what I do. They give readings or they'll, you know, but the mundane stuff, the world event stuff has always fascinated me. And once I started to do the studies and saw what the great alignments had done to our society and how overwhelmingly powerful and predictable they were, that's why when I saw the one coming in 2000, I predicted Bush's election, in fact, for 8 years, and the crash and all the rest of that, based on the energy that was happening. So now I see this energy happening here. And America has its north and south nodes based on the Sagittarius ascendant chart that most of us use. We have the north and south nodes in the second and eighth houses, which is the houses of money. And since our entire culture is based on, you know, who's got the most and how big is your car, all over the place, when these nodes are being hit by secondary progression, by transit, by solar arc direction. That says to me that this is a, for lack of a better term, a karmic moment in America's life, a time when our values are going to be really tested. And we're not, you can't shrug this stuff off. How we're able to shrug off things like the Gulf, I don't understand, except that we really are. We just don't want, we stick our heads in the sand. We don't want to know. But one of the greatest, most pristine and amazing bodies of water was virtually, you know, destroyed or at least, you know, threatened by this huge oil spill. And we don't even, nobody even talks about it anymore. The oil disappeared. Oh, okay. And the more that we allow these things to occur without changing, making serious changes in our direction, the closer we are to more and more catastrophes. Now, I agree with you, George. We're not going anywhere. We're going to be here for a long time.
Yep.
That's why, you know, you get up in the morning. That's why the world's always coming to an end. People still have children. And they still, you know, and it doesn't matter. And after the Black Plague in Europe, there was a huge baby boom. Everybody had children, and they wanted to replenish it. It's the nature of the species. So we have to get to that point where we say, I don't like those windmills off of the coast of Massachusetts. But you know what? If it stops this black gook from coming up on the shores, let's do it. And we're not ready to do that yet because it doesn't hurt enough yet.
When you saw 9/11, how far in advance did you see
that? About a year. I was on Jenny Lynch's a TV show. She had a cable show. I was also doing a series of lectures at the Princeton Club and a few other things. And once I recognized what was happening, I simply opened my mouth and told everybody. I said, we're going to be hit rather dramatically. And in fact, Jenny and I filmed the second tower coming down. And then went and did a show, taped the show, but we never showed it. I think we were all pretty freaked out after 9/11, you know, especially in New York. It was just remarkable. You needed to carry a proof that you lived below 14th Street or the National Guard wouldn't let you down there. And that's damn close to martial law, and, you know, that's... you know, the potential for the society crumbling and falling apart. Of course, if there was something, a single event like 9/11 or some other horrible catastrophe is just terrible. And I lost friends because I was down there. I had a number of clients at Cantor Fitzgerald, and all my work was down on Wall Street at that time. And it really just was terribly destructive. But it passed. The society moved on. We mourn for the dead, and we move on with our lives, and we will continue to do that. Nothing short of a major plague or a real nuclear war is going to shake humanity up enough to make the kind of changes that are necessary. So I don't know, you know, eventually we will get to the point where there simply isn't anything left. Look, the cod off of Massachusetts used to be so... that they couldn't run boats through it. There were so many fish. There were billions and billions of codfish.
Not anymore. Mitchell, we're coming back with some questions for you on Coast to Coast AM.